Our readings today are very good back to basics readings. They really go to the heart of our call as followers of Jesus Christ. We really get our identity as disciples, who we are. The problem, of course, as always, is that the world is trying to sell us a different Bible or a different group of commandments or beliefs. And yet the Bible gives us exactly who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. So we're talking about love. Jesus says, if you love anyone more than me, you're in trouble. We're not supposed to love anyone more than Jesus. And that's true of the Old Testament as well. We're told in the Shema, the prayer that Jews pray, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole strength. God alone. And Jesus says the same thing. If you love your husband, wife, your father, mother more than me, you can't be my disciple. So we have to parse that. We have to think about what he's talking about. What he's not talking about is love as sentimentality. One writer put it that way. In our world today, love is a sentimentality. It's kind of a feeling. If I don't feel loving, then I can't be loving. That's not the Christian understanding of love. It's not a sentiment. It's not an emotion. It's a conviction. It's something that we choose to do. It's a verb. We do it. We love, despite the fact whether we feel loving or not, whether we feel good about loving or not, whether we get a reward for it or not. We're supposed to love. So there's a big difference between what Jesus teaches us as love and what the world says. And you look at the divorce rate. Well, we fell out of love. Well, you don't fall out of love. You choose to stop loving. And love can be very hard and difficult and harsh. And yet, if we look at Jesus, he loved no matter what. He loved right to the moment of his death. And so he died for us, so that we too could follow in our footsteps. So love is not a sentiment. It's not a feeling. And so just like in the Shema, we're supposed to love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole strength, and really focus on that. Now the question, of course, is, well, how do we get to love our neighbor as ourselves? Or love one another as I have loved you, even until death? Well, we love our neighbor as ourselves in and through Jesus. You know, it's not really us creating this category called love and we do it, but rather we're doing it through Jesus. Why? Well, as Paul says, we have been immersed into his death and his resurrection. We are dead to sin. That's what we're supposed to be doing, being dying to sin, so that we can better love. So we're dying to anything that grabs our attention and gets in the way of our loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So we can love our neighbor very, very well if we do it through God. So we have been immersed in his death. We've come out in his resurrection. Paul says we're supposed to be dead to sin. We're supposed to be a new Christ, a unique Christ. So just like Jesus showed the way, we're supposed to follow in his footsteps and love no matter what the cost is. Now, we are told that if we do what we're called to do, we will get a reward. You know, we don't like to talk about that. We should do it selflessly, but it comes with the territory. It doesn't mean, like the woman from Shunem, she had a baby boy in a year. We're not going to get that necessarily, but God loves us. That in itself is the reward, but he also promises us a share in his kingdom. Now that's a fantastic reward which goes beyond anything we can imagine. We can't earn it. There's absolutely nothing we can do, any person can do, to say to God, I will do everything just right perfectly so that I will merit heaven. Well, we can't merit heaven, and yet, in a sense, we do merit heaven. But again, it's through Jesus and with Jesus. It's not separate. So through our baptism, we don't say, okay, I'm off on my own, I'm going to love. No, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, keep going to Jesus, asking for forgiveness when we fail. And then as we read scriptures, we see, Jesus did that. He did that. And he did it selflessly in order to grab people's attention so they would want to know the way, the truth, and the life. And the way and the truth and the life is Jesus, and Jesus leads us to the Father. So it's not about me alone or any of us alone. We are the body of Christ. So even that phrase tells us we're supposed to be doing it in Christ and through Christ. So many saints would say when they look at someone, they see Christ in them. We can only do that if we know Christ, if we follow him, if we are faithful, so that we can love our neighbor as ourselves in and through Jesus. So it is harsh sounding, and people may say, well, what do you mean I can't love my parents, this, that, and the other? No, that's not the point. The point is it's first God, and then everything follows from that. Unfortunately, again, in the world, we get caught up in this sentimental understanding of love. As long as it happens, okay, fine. When it stops, I'm gone. Or people talk about loving their pets. Well, I don't know about that. But that's the sentimentality that we have in our culture. You know, we can love this, we can love that, we can do love of that person or that creature, whatever. But if it's not rooted in Jesus, it's not real love. It's not Christian love, because Christian love is willing to say, I will do that even if I die. So if we want to know what love is, as I say, it's a choice, it's a verb, it's something we do. And if we want to see how to do it, obviously we read the scriptures. What did Jesus do? And if we walk his path, we do his stuff, we will not only be loving God more and more, but we will be loving our neighbor more and more. Because Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. He knows what love is. It's not a sentiment. It's not an emotion. But rather, it's a choice that I make again and again and again, even if I want to throw up my arms and say, I'm tired of this. I try to love, and all I get is kicked in the teeth. Well, Jesus was crucified because he loved. But the good news is, of course, that not only can we love like Jesus, but we do it with him. He's with us in our action of love. He is there walking with us and guiding us, so we're not alone. And then also he gives us the church. You know, the church is not some vague group of people. It's very specific. Everybody in the church has gone into the baptismal waters and has died with Christ. We share that with one another. And we've come out of those waters as a new creation. So we are all brothers and sisters, new creations through baptism, and we have a share in the kingdom right now to use the gifts of God to love as Jesus loved. So Jesus has figured it all out, as always, but we have to keep asking ourselves, how do I love? Who do I love? What am I loving? Why am I loving? How am I loving? Am I really loving as Jesus did, or is my love simply a feeling that comes and goes? Hard work, and yet we can achieve it because we have Christ in our lives. So I'm just going to give you one phrase from Scripture. It comes from the Sermon on the Mount, but it kind of goes to the heart of this. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. So the question is, what's my treasure? Or treasures, as the case may be. What do I really treasure? And is that where my heart is? And is that treasure, does it have something to do with God and his church and my brothers and sisters? Or is it something else that has nothing to do with real love? So think about that passage from the Sermon on the Mount. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. And we can keep following that, and we keep asking God to help us come to Christ in praying that phrase, the more we will be able to see who we truly are. We've died to sin. We have died to false love, the sentimentality of love, and we have been adopted as children of God to love as Jesus did. And we've got all the help we could possibly need in order to go forth and do that. So again, think about where your treasure is. What are your treasures? Are they really important? Do they really help you see Jesus? Or do they kind of pull you away? Do you cling to them so that you're afraid of losing them? Are you free to truly love Christ and say no to other things, which may be good, but they're not Christ? So where your treasure is, there will be your heart.